want, but we can thank Him for the grace to get us through whatever comes our way. I'm thankful for grace, aren't you? It's good to be here tonight. We had a great day in Tennessee and just a wonderful day in the Lord at our home church there, Pleasant Beach Baptist, and to come here tonight. Obviously, not under the circumstances. We're not happy about that, but thankful that we can be here. I'm thankful that I can be in church. And as Dad said at the beginning, I'm thankful for the family of God. And no matter what, when you're going through difficulty, when you're going through troublesome times, the place that you'll get the most help is around the people of God. And I'm thankful for the people of God that have been at our church, have been encouragement to me during these last few days. And this church family here, I know you've encouraged our family and will continue to do so. I'm encouraged. We have at Pleasant Beach, we have a bunch of teen boys that sit on the front row as well. And I know not all these are teenagers, but it's good to see some young men taking the lead here and wanting to do something for the Lord. And that encourages my heart. And so, boys, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, all right? And don't quit. And encourage them. Don't throw a wet blanket on them. Right?
Yeah.
Encourage them and prod them along and lift them up, because they're not the generation of tomorrow. They're the generation of right now. And if this church will sustain, it's going to have to be because the next generation is continuing on what God has done in their heart and life. And me and Dad were just talking about this the other day. Everybody wants to complain about this generation. You raised them. You raised them. So, if they turn out for the Lord, just thank the Lord, right? I know I'd have one, but Phil asked me right before church if I was going to preach in Spanish or English. And that's a little inside joke, but some people may get it. Wow, but I'm thankful to be here, and it's good to see you all tonight. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. John chapter 14. I want to encourage your hearts tonight, and there's been a lot on my mind over the last couple months, after 2 or 3 months. It's funny that sometimes you don't think about what I'm going to preach about tonight unless certain things happen in life. But I think if we thought about them more, I think our life would be better. I think we'd walk closer with the Lord. I think we would be more encouraged in our heart. Now listen, we're living in troublesome times.
Yeah.
We're living where people have troubled hearts. And we can cast judgment. We can say, well, they shouldn't be depressed and they shouldn't be discouraged. But the reality of it is, and I'm not just talking about troublesome times out in the world. We're living in troublesome times with God's people.
Yeah.
God's people are discouraged, and a lot of times God's people are depressed, and God's people don't even know how to go another step and make it one more day. They're troubled in their heart, and they need something to help them go the next mile. And can I tell you, this is not a time that believers should devour one another. This is not a time that the body of Christ should be divided. It's not a time that the body of Christ should be picking about things that don't even matter. This is a time where we should lift one another up and encourage one another. And when I was moved down to Tennessee, The pastor that had been there for over 40 years, Brother Bobby Stout, he's in his 80s now, one of the sweetest, loving men I've ever met. And I went to visit him just a few weeks after we moved to Tennessee, and sat in his home with him, and we were talking, and he had watched some of the services of here. I think he was checking up on me. I mean, he's not the pastor now, but I think he was checking up on me. He got to see a video of me and Mom and Dad and Philip singing together. The first service, his first service back after all that happened with him. And we got up here and sang, and Philip sang, and we had a hallelujah time that night. And it encouraged his heart. And anyway, we were talking, and he said, Marcus, he said, do you think you may pastor one day? And I said, well, I don't know. I think God's put some things in my heart to maybe allow that to happen one day. And he said, listen to me carefully. I got one thing to say to you. He said, when your people fall down, help them get back up.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we're living in troublesome times where we don't need to beat someone down when they're hurt. We don't need, and I wouldn't be that way, or I wouldn't do it that way. Well, that's not you, and everybody handles things differently. I heard somebody say, back in Florida, there was an older man that said something. He was having an operation. It was an outpatient procedure, and Kelly's dad got up and said, "Now y'all pray for Brother Pete. He's having a minor operation on Tuesday." And he said, Hey, it may be minor if they're cutting on you, but it's major if they're cutting on me." Now, everybody views things a little different. Everybody. So my point is, this is not the message. This is just free, before we even get started, to love one another and help build one another up. Whether you understand what they're going through, whether you agree with what they're, how they're behaving during their trial, love them and encourage them and strengthen their heart in the things of God.
Amen.
Don't judge them. John chapter 14. Let's look at John chapter 14 tonight. And look at verse number 1. John chapter 14, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." By the way, can I just stop right there and say, everything God wanted us to know, Brother Rick, is in this book. Everything He didn't want us to know is not in this book. So just trust what the Bible says and trust what the words of Jesus say. If it weren't so, He would have told you. I'm glad I have an every word Bible. I'm glad I have a word of God that I can depend on and trust. Amen. All right. It says, "I would have told you. I go," look what He says in verse 2, "I go to prepare a place for you." Would you mark that if you haven't marked it in your Bible? Underline that phrase, "I go to prepare a place," and I circled this word, "you."
Yeah.
Verse number 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, for these next few moments, it's my goal is to lift up your name and to encourage these thy people. And I pray that the word of God would do what I cannot do, that the Spirit of God would do what I cannot do, and that you would encourage our hearts tonight. And Lord, may we lift our eyes toward heaven and not on the things of this world, not on the troublesome times that we're going through, not on the recent events that have happened over the last few weeks and the last few months or the last few years. But God, may we truly have our hearts and minds focused upon thee tonight. And Lord, may we not just focus on you while we're in this building. And then the moment we go out, we just pick up our problems. Lord, may our life be a daily involvement at your feet. And may we truly, may it be a lifestyle as we sit at your feet and hear your words and learn to love you more. Help us tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you about this tonight just for a few minutes. It's been on my mind for a long time. A place called heaven.
Yeah.
A place called heaven.
Yeah, that'd
be good. You know, a few years ago, there was a book that came out called Heaven is for Real. Supposedly, have you ever heard that book? You ever heard of that book? I think they even made a movie about it. They made a lot of money. A four or five-year-old boy supposedly died and went to heaven. And when he came back, he told his parents what he saw, and they wrote it down. And this family made millions and millions of dollars by selling millions and millions of copies of this book. And then they later on made a movie about it. Well, they came on later on down the road and they said it wasn't really real. It was kind of a made up story. Well, I could have told you that. And the boy talked about seeing blue unicorns and all kinds of foolishness like that. Can I say something to you tonight that heaven is for real? But I don't have to take the word of a four-year-old that said he went. I don't need a book that's the New York Times bestseller. I don't need to go to the cinema and watch a movie about it. I have a word of God that tells me that it's real, and this is all I need. I don't need someone else's opinion. I don't need someone else's experience. I can tell you, just as sure as I'm standing here tonight, that heaven is for real, and I say that based not on my opinion. I say it based on what the Holy Word of God says, that heaven is a real place, and I'm going one day.
Amen.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's the dwelling place of God. People go there every day.
Yeah.
There's only one problem with heaven, Dad.
Yeah.
The only way to get there, if you don't go through the rapture, is to die.
That's it.
Somebody said everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die to get there.
Right.
Now, I'm not being cold or callous. I'm just telling you the fact that if you want to go to heaven, you're either going to go by the rapture or you're going to go through the grave.
Right.
That's the only way that you're going to arrive. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 that it is appointed unto man once to die.
Right.
But you and I have an appointment with death.
Yeah.
And we don't know when that's going to be.
Right.
It could be when you're older. It could be when you're younger. It could be when you're in between. It could be on your way home tonight. It could be next week. It could be next year. You and I do not know what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself. We do not know what a day may bring forth. That's why it is imperative, it is important, it is of utmost importance that you know, that you know, that you know where you are going when you pass from this life into the next. You better know where you're going. If you were to die tonight, listen, if you were to go home tonight and eat you an egg sandwich with mayonnaise and cheese and drink a glass of tea and go to bed and die in your sleep, you would die well, right? If you went like that, that would be a good way to go. But if you were to die in your sleep and you were to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I ask you tonight, what would be your reason that he should let you in? What would your answer be? Well, I was in church today. Not good enough. I worked on the bus today. Not good enough. I prayed. I'm a good moral person. I give money to the church. I'm a member of Mountain State Baptist Church. Can I just say to you tonight, I prayed a prayer in Vacation Bible School 63 years ago. And I've not been much since then, but I remember when I went forward and the preacher so-and-so patted me on the head and sent me along my way. That's not good enough.
Right.
Can I tell you, when you stand before God, the only reason he's going to let you in is if you say, I am blood washed, my sins have been forgiven, I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, I'm a child of God, that's how I know, I have put my faith in Jesus Christ. And when you say that, my friend, the Lord Jesus will open wide the gates and let you come in. But that's the only way you're going. That's the only way you're going to get there. David said this, there is but a step between me and death. Wait, just a second. A step. A step. There's only one step between me and death. Where will you go when you pass from this life to the next? Understand this, that you and I are eternal beings. I thought of this, I wrote this down. Listen to this. There was a day when you were not.
Right.
But there will never be a day when you will not be.
Right.
Please think about that. There was a time when you were not. But there will never be a time when you will not be.
Right.
You will be somewhere forever. And my friend, there's only two options. There's not a purgatory. There's not a second option. There's not, you are going to go to the paradise of God when you die, or you're going to go to the regions of the damned. That's your only two options. And you better know tonight, not 99% sure, not I'm holding on and holding out, not I'm holding to a holding on, just hoping I can get there by the skin of my teeth, not I'm going because grandma was going, not because I'm going because daddy went, but you know that you know that you know that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You better know. You better know. In our text here, Jesus is having Passover with his disciples. They've entered the upper room. He has washed their feet. He has foretold his betrayal. Now imagine, here they are. They're not seated.
You're my boy.
They're not. I forgot. About time out real quick. I told Dad I was going to preach on love tonight, but I didn't think y'all could handle it. I don't know that Dad knows how to preach on love. I told him I may preach on hate tonight and y'all would receive it a little better. Then y'all, yeah, people here in Tennessee about that love. Anyway. So imagine, here they are. They're Jewish custom. They are seated around the table. And here they are, and Jesus is expressing these most intimate moments with his disciples, and as he's washing their feet and he's humbling himself and show that he is a servant, and he says, one of you is going to betray me. And as he goes on, he continues to explain to them how that he's leaving. Remember, corn of wheat falling to the ground, and listen to that whole story, that I'm leaving, and I'm going to a place where you cannot come, but you can come afterwards. And all of these things that he is trying to expound to them and teach them. And then he tells Peter, sitting right there amongst everybody, Peter, you're going to deny me three times that you even know me. Understand that this was not really the last meeting that anyone wanted to have with Jesus.
Right.
This is not necessarily the last kind of conversation that they were hoping for. What would that do to you? Gather around the bed. I'm getting ready to leave. And let me just air out all the dirty laundry.
Right. Yeah.
Let me tell you how bad you're going to deny that you know me.
Yeah.
You're going to betray me.
Right.
And here are the disciples, the one that they have devoted their entire life to for 3.5 years says, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Would you be troubled in your heart?
Yeah.
Would that discourage you?
Sure.
Would that make you question, well, what was all this for? Now what? Now what do I do? Now what are we going to do? And they begin to wonder. And they were troubled in their heart. And the Bible does not say that they were troubled in their heart. But Jesus, knowing all things, Jesus knowing what they were thinking, Jesus knowing how they were feeling, says in John chapter 14, verse 1, after he's let all of this out, after he's explained to them all that's going to take place, he says, wait, listen. Let not your heart be troubled. As only our compassionate, loving Savior can do, he explains to them that there is no reason for you to be troubled in your heart.
Right.
Now there are people in this room tonight that are troubled in their heart.
Sure.
There are people that are heartbroken. There are the Secrets family is heartbroken tonight. It's been a difficult year for the Secrets and for the Civvies. And there are people that are troubled in their heart.
Yeah.
And you can say, I don't know why. Listen, there are people that they're just discouraged and they're down, and there are people in this room and you're going through stuff, and there's the prayer list, and there's physical problems, and there's financial problems, and there's all these things that trouble our heart. And here Jesus says, listen, don't be troubled. I have some good news for you.
Yeah.
I may be going away, but I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
The one thing he tried to encourage their hearts with was about a place called heaven. The one thing that he tried to get them to move from being discouraged to encouraged was about a place called heaven. The one thing he tried to do get them from being troubled in their heart to being triumphant in their spirit was to talk to them about a place called heaven, about a future day, about a future meeting, about a future place. And that is what he was trying to get them to focus their attention on tonight. And tonight, just for a few moments, I want to talk to you about a place called heaven. Number one, would you look at this tonight? We'll find this in our reading. Heaven is an appointed place. It's an appointed place. Look what the Bible says. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Look what it says. I go to prepare a place for you. Now here are the disciples sitting and they're troubled in their heart, and Jesus said, listen, I'm leaving, but I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah, amen.
This place called heaven is a prepared place. Listen to what the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. I'm thankful for a lively hope, aren't you? I'm glad, listen, this world, if all we have in this life is right, we'd be most miserable if it's all we had. But there is a better day coming, thank God. I have a lively hope that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm headed to heaven, and heaven's my home. It says to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved. Yeah. it's reserved.
Yes.
Somebody, are we Methodist tonight? Are we Baptist? Are we? It's reserved.
Amen. Amen.
And the reservation is not going to get canceled.
Amen.
It's reserved in heaven for you.
Amen.
Put your name in there.
Amen.
It's got your name on it. When you go, like, you know, we used to have, I don't know if you had to make reservations at Shoney's. Remember how to do that? Get a number?
Yeah.
They always ask you smoking or not.
Yeah. Right, right.
Can I ask y'all tonight? Where's your reservation tonight? Smoking or not?
Yeah. No, I'll take non.
I'll take non-smoking.
Yeah.
I'm headed to heaven tonight.
Yeah.
It's a prepared place. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people.
Yes, amen.
That's why it's appointed.
Yes.
Excuse me. Not everybody gets to go.
Right.
Right.
Now, I'm not here to, I'm trying to encourage you tonight, so I may say something right now that may hurt you, but I'm not trying to hurt you. But just because your folks are good don't mean they're going.
Right, right,
right.
That's right.
Not everybody goes to heaven when they die.
Right.
Now, it's one thing for the world to believe that.
Right.
But that belief system has crept into the church.
Yeah.
Good God, good devil.
Yeah.
He died and he went to heaven, but because why? Well, that's where everybody goes. No, everybody don't go to heaven. Can I say something to you tonight? Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people.
Right.
It is appointed place.
Yeah.
Who goes there? Who gets to go? Can I say that the invitation is open to everybody?
Yeah.
But only those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ go. Only those who belong to the Father through Jesus Christ go to a place called heaven. It's a prepared place. Number two, it's a perfect place.
Yeah, it is.
Why don't I encourage you, instead of my words, why don't we look at what the Bible says? Turn over to Revelation real quick. We got time. Right, Dad? We got time. Revelation chapter 21. I just want to encourage you what the Bible says. Not only is it a prepared place, it's a perfect place.
Yeah.
It's a perfect. I just like saying that. Can somebody help me tonight? It's a perfect place.
Yeah,
Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared. There's that word again. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh, listen, church, in your troubled heart, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Thank God, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Turn the page, would you? Revelation chapter 22.
Yeah.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse.
Yes.
Can I just stop and say right there? There'll be no more curse.
Yes.
There'll be no more. Hey, it's not about getting a new leg or getting a new mind or getting a. There's no more sin. There's no more time that I'll break my Savior's heart. There's no more sin to contend with. No more devil to contend with. No more flesh to contend with. Hallelujah. That the curse has been broken by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody ought to get happy tonight. I'm going to enjoy myself.
Yes, yes, yes.
Y'all do what you want.
Yes.
All that love preaching.
Yeah.
Look what the Bible says. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Listen, church. And there shall be no night there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. Here's why. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, by the way, every word that Jesus said is like this. These words are faithful and true. That means what Jesus said, you can count on it. You can depend on it. If he said it, you can count on it that it's going to come to pass. Well, you're not going to get to heaven and say, well, this is not what I thought. It'll be everything you thought it would be and more. The half has not been told of what God has prepared for his children one day. It says the Lord and the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It's a perfect place. Can I tell you tonight? It's a personal place.
Oh, yeah.
It's for you.
Yeah.
It's for you. See, here tonight, you may be going through some difficult time. You may be discouraged and downhearted, and you may wonder how in the world, boy, everything's not like I thought it would be.
Yeah.
We were listening to a song coming up the road, and there was a phrase in that song. A pastor down there in our area, he wrote the song that Kelly sang. He wrote some other songs you all would know. It's called I Found a Faithful Friend. And he said in the song that he talks about, I reached that my mind's searching for an end. You ever been in that kind of place in your life?
Yeah.
Where you don't know what's going to happen out here, but your mind is just saying, could it stop?
Yeah.
That your mind is searching for an end. That your mind is searching for a way out. And he goes on and says, my mind's trying to search for an end, I know this thing for sure, that I have a faithful friend.
Yes, amen.
That even when my mind can't comprehend, when I don't know if I can go another, day, when things didn't turn out like I thought they would turn out, when I get discouraged, when I get downhearted, when I get depressed, I have a faithful friend who has a prepared place just for me waiting in the heavens.
Amen.
All those who by faith belong to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, listen, Jesus Christ came to this earth. Emmanuel, God with us. He put on a robe of flesh. He lived a perfect sinless life. He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he gives an open invitation to whosoever will, let him come. There is an invitation for you tonight. You don't have to play games any longer. You don't have to hope so any longer. You don't have to wonder any longer. You can know for certain tonight. You can quit playing church. You can quit checking your religious boxes, and you can get born into the family of God tonight and know that heaven is your home.
Amen.
It's an appointed place. Number two, quickly, it's an actual place.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's not some figment of your imagination. Can I tell you tonight, heaven is just as real as the building that we're sitting in tonight.
Yes, it is.
It's a real place. It's an actual place. Look what the Bible says. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And verse number 3, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Listen to what he says. That where I am, that where I am, that where I am, there ye may be also. What makes it heaven? It's not the gates of pearl. What makes it heaven is not the streets of gold. What makes it heaven is not that I even get a new body or a new heart. What makes it heaven is that's where Jesus is. What makes it heaven is that you and I get to see him face to face for the very first time. What makes it heaven is that he has prepared a place for us that where he is, we get to be with him also. We don't understand what that's like. We know what it's like now with the Spirit of God and how we can have the Spirit of God that comforts our hearts and how the Spirit of God can help us go another day. But we don't know what it's like to be with Jesus in person. We don't know fully what it's like to see him face to face. We don't know. There's going to be a long line and everybody's going to have to fight me because I just want to go hug his neck. And I just want to thank him for helping me when I thought I couldn't go another day. I want to thank him for loving me when I was unlovable. I want to thank him for just answering prayer. I want to thank him for saving my kids. I want to thank him for saving my wretched soul and forgiving me and putting me on a new way. I just want to thank him for all that he's done. And that's what it's going to be. I get to be where he is. And that's why it's heaven. It's a place of reward. A place of reward. There are five crowns. The Bible talks about a crown of life, a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory, a soul winner's crown, and the victor's crown. And we can sit here tonight and say, well, which one are you going to get? Which I wonder how many I'm going to get. Listen, can I tell you that those rewards, the Bible talks about those rewards will be gold and silver and precious stones. And some of them may be wood, hay, and stubble. But here's the whole point of those rewards. It's not so we can get them and boast about how good we are. It's not so we can get in heaven and show, hey, look how many I got, how many you got. It's so we can take everything that he gives us and just lay it back at his feet and thank him for what he's done. It's a place of reward. Can I go on number two? Not only is it an actual place of reward, it's an actual place of rest.
Yeah.
How many of you long for some rest? How many of you get tired in the way? I tell you, I'm not tired of the way, but I sure get tired in the way. There's a difference. Sometimes the way is hard. We listen to songs come up the road, and one song said, he said, I got a song. Sometimes the battle's hard. Sometimes there's scars. The gospel way is hard sometimes. We labor and we labor and we labor and we go and we go and we fight and we fight. Listen to what the Bible said. Revelation 14, verse 13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. We've had some family members this year, and I'm thankful I can stand and hear assurance tonight, Mindy, that they died in the Lord. That we don't have to wonder where they went. By the way, can I say this? You're going to preach your own funeral. And I heard a preacher say one time, it's better for you to leave exclamation point than a question mark.
That's right.
How many of you tonight are going to roll you in the doors one day and it's going to be nothing but a question mark? Well, I hope, Jerry, I hope they made it. I don't want to go in too much, but because I know we're on the internet and things, but a family that I know, and because I wouldn't want to offend them, a family I know, husband passed away, not expecting it to happen, and they were looking back trying to find everything they could to hold on to a promise that he was in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, he went to church a week ago. He didn't go to church faithfully. Last week he went.
Yeah.
Question marks.
Yeah.
Tonight, can I ask you, are you putting that question mark or exclamation point? But listen to what the Bible says, those who die in the Lord.
Yeah.
Listen to what it says, yay, saith the Spirit. Oh, well, don't you like that?
Yes.
Yay.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yay.
Yes.
Yay, yeah. Yay. Yeah.
Saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them.
Yeah.
It gets weary down here. Some days are hard, and some days life throws everything at you. See, we're not. We fight constantly the world and the flesh and the devil. It's a constant battle, and I know that many of you tonight are weary in the way, and you're longing for rest.
Yeah.
I thought all week. March the 20th at 8:05, my sweet grandmother crossed over into the halls of heaven and entered into rest. There's no more labor. No more fighting for another day. No more hoping for another doc. No. She's at rest. Daryl's at rest. Other family members are at rest. And one day, because we know Jesus as our Savior, we will be at rest too. You know, I was wondering coming up the road, if those who have gone before, if they could see us, if they could say one thing to us, Jerry. You know, I remember somebody maybe watched the Olympics before. Those Summer Olympics, those runners are out there. And everybody's cheering for their country. And you know what they're saying when they're running around the track? Go, 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 go. And I believe with all my heart, if our people, if the saints of God, if Moses and Abraham and my grandmother and my grandfather and all those who've gone on could look down and see us, they would see us now and they'd say, hey, go, 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 go. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you back down. Don't you just give it all you got until you get here, because heaven is worth it all. I don't know how it's worth it all. It's worth every trouble you've had in this life when you get to see Jesus face to face. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus.
Amen.
It's a place of rejoicing. It's a place of rejoicing. I'm about done. I'm enjoying myself. It's a place of rejoicing. They're up there right now crying, holy, holy, holy. Can I give you some more Bible before we quit? Can you give me some more Bible? Look at Revelation again. That's a good book. I hope y'all like that one. Revelation 4. Listen to what the Bible said. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. And they were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I'm sure they said it quietly too. I'm sure they said it with a scowl on their face. I'm sure they said it looked like they've been sucking on a lemon, like some of y'all here tonight. Love. Love. Hey, listen to what it said. Which was and is and is to come. And when the beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him. I don't know. Y'all can think about what you want. I think that's us. The sat on the throne will worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Well, that sounds pretty good. That sounds like a little bit of rejoicing going on in heaven. But we're not done yet. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy? Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Look down at verse number 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. There is rejoicing right now in heaven. And can I tell you, I wasn't here this morning, but when this young lady came forward and she knelt down and got birthed into the family of God, there was rejoicing in the presence of God because one sinner repented and was born into God's family. There's rejoicing. I just think if we're going to enjoy the destination, we might ought to enjoy the journey.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Amen.
I can't continue living. I can't do. If I'm going to enjoy it there, I better learn to enjoy it down here.
Amen.
Can I say one more thing here? It's also an actual place of reunion. It's a place of reunion. You know, the first thing my eyes will behold when I enter the glory world will be the face of Jesus. I'll see him in all of his glory.
Yeah.
I wonder tonight, are you ready to see him?
Yeah.
Can I just ask you tonight? I don't want to ask you if you're ready. I want to ask you on a Sunday night, do you want to?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I got garden to plant. I got a game. I got a golf game. Maybe my kids got a recital Friday. Do you want to see him?
Yeah.
Do you want to see him in all of his glory?
Yeah.
Listen, I can't wait for that. I'm going to get there. Just give me a second. But the first thing you're going to see is Jesus.
Yeah.
The first thing in all is I'm going to see is the Lord in all of his glory. Jesus Christ in the flesh, in a glorified body. I shall see him as he is, and I shall be like him. I will see him as the conquering King of kings and Lord of lords. I'll see him as the bright and morning star. I'll see him as the fairest of 10,000. I'll see him as the living word, as the living bread, as the living water that refreshes and renews and restores my soul. I'll see him as the rock of my salvation. I'll see him as the chief cornerstone elect in Zion. I'll see him as the Alpha and Omega and the first and the last. I'll see him as he is. There's nobody like him. What a mighty God we serve. I'm going to heaven, and I hope you can go with me one day. It's a place where there's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no hospitals filled with the sounds of sobbing saints. There's no hospitals filled with the groans of the dying. It's a place where there's no sorrow and no pain and no parting. It's a place where the deaf will hear, where the blind will see. It's a place where the lame will walk. Thank God there'll be no wheelchairs in heaven. There'll be no taking. There'll be one glorious day. You'll have the ability to run. If you got asthma, you'll run like an Olympian athlete. It'd be a perfect holy day. No cancer. No chemo. No oxygen mask. No funeral homes. No undertakers. No pills. No doctors. No lawyers. No politicians. I don't know if there are any of them going to heaven. There ain't going to be no politicians up there. It's a reunion. I thought coming up the road, I'll see my papa and mama Schaefer. I'll be reunited. I'll see papa Boyd. I'll see my mama Mickey. I'll see Tommy. I'll see Daryl. There'll be spouses reunited.
That's right.
There'll be husbands that'll see their wives again.
Yeah.
There'll be wives that'll see their husbands again. There'll be children that'll see their parents again.
Yeah.
There'll be parents that'll see their children again.
Yeah.
There'll be friends that have gone on.
Yeah.
And you'll see those friends again.
Yeah.
There'll be a reunion day.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Why don't you sing this with me?
Yeah.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. Glorious day. That, sing that second verse. There'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain. No more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it, church. What a day that will be. Do you believe it? When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Can I give you one more thing? Not only is it an appointed place, not only is it an actual place, but listen to me. It's an accessible place. Jesus tells these disciples about a place called heaven. And I think we all give Thomas a hard time, but Thomas spoke up and said, well, Lord, how do we go? We don't even want you to leave. So if you're leaving, would you let us know how to get there? And listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This glorious place called heaven, it's accessible to you tonight. You can go. But listen to me. You don't get to go your way.
That's right.
See, if you're going to go your way, you're going to have to come up with your own heaven. If you're going to go to God's heaven, you're going to have to go God's way. So there's a lot of teaching going out now that there may only be one way to God, but there's many ways to Jesus. Now that's being taught.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, the only way you're going to get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to get to God through his son Jesus. You're going to get there because at some moment in your life, it could be tonight if you don't know for sure. If you go out, listen, I'm going to be very pointed with you. If you go out these doors tonight and don't know for sure you're going to heaven, you may bust hell wide open before you get into bed tonight. You better not. I'll take my chances. You better not take your chances. You better know that heaven's your home.
Right.
It's accessible. Listen, you must realize you're a sinner. Now, what does that mean? That means you are guilty of breaking God's law. That don't mean, well, I stole one time. No. If you are a sinner, you're guilty of breaking the law of God. James says if you're offended in one point, you're guilty of all of them. Now, you can like that or lump it. It doesn't matter. If you stole something, you're a murderer.
Yeah.
If you lie, you're a blasphemer.
Yeah.
If you covet, you're an adulterer.
Yes.
Right.
You've broken the holy commandments of God.
Yes.
And you are alienated from God because of your sin.
Yes.
And your only hope is to be reconciled to God through his son Jesus Christ by you repenting of your sin and putting your faith in Jesus Christ, that you believe that he died for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures, and you put your faith in him. And tonight, if you do that, heaven can be yours.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about y'all tonight, but I'm glad for a place called heaven. Can I tell you something even better than that? I'm glad I get to go. I'm glad I'm going. And I'm glad I don't have to wonder or worry. I don't know what may transpire in my life, but I don't want my wife and my children to wonder. I want them to know, if they've ever doubted, to know tonight that if daddy leaves them and if their husband leaves them, I'm going to go into the presence of Almighty God. How about you tonight? Let's bow for a word of prayer. And you do business with God. Whoever's going to come to the piano can come. If God spoke to your heart tonight, I would encourage you to do business with God. If that means you want to come get your heart right with God, I encourage you to get your heart right. You want to make things right with somebody else, make things right with somebody else. If you don't know 100% sure that you're going to heaven when you die, I encourage you, don't put it off. Come tonight and get it taken care of. As they begin to play, you may stand. Would you stand, please? And you just do business with God as He's done business with you. Yeah.